100.3 WRNB Media Philadelphia. It's old school 100.3. Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-263-1003. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now, here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
So I was, there we go. Now we
got, and we can hear each other.
Yes. I was out of town last week, and you took the helm, and I appreciate that.
I did. It was more difficult than I thought. I newfound respect for you.
Thank you.
You know, I had no respect for you. Now I have a little bit of respect.
Yeah, a scintilla of respect. Well, the reports back were that you did just a fine job.
Oh, thank you. Uh-huh. We had an interesting topic. The gun control issue was up, so had plenty to talk about.
Yep. All right. Well, today we've got a whole new basket of topics to talk about and a special guest that we'll introduce shortly. But, you know, those just getting onto this Philly sports scene for a second, because I've kind of been out of touch with it. The Flyers finished their season. How'd they do?
Please. How did they do? They're not in the playoffs. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I was trying to look this up. I know that I think it's 18 years they've been in the playoffs. So this is the first time in 18 years they're not in the playoffs. Or maybe once before in 18 years they weren't in the playoffs. Something like that. Well, this might be the second time or the first, but it's still.
It's a rare occasion.
Rare occasion, big blow. I always suspect with the Flyers when something like this happens, there's going to be major changes, but you never know.
Yeah, they might get rid of Bobby Clark.
Oh, please. He's Bobby Clark. What, who? Who? He's been gone for a long time.
And Rick McLeish and Barber. That's the last time I watched the Flyers, 1974.
Yeah, when they won the Stanley Cup, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And well, I think I watched them again in 75, but that was it. So
now your big allegiance is the Sixers, right?
The Sixers. You know, I'm thinking, contemplating becoming a sponsor of the Sixers team next year. I'm wondering from the listeners whether they think that's good idea or not.
Yeah, you know, that's a good, you should ask them.
Yeah, they might be like, Sixers who? Well, listen, folks, if you're listening to David and I, you can reach us at 215-263-1003. That's right, old school 100.3.
The Phillies won.
The Phillies.
Yeah, they won. They annihilated, right?
Annihilated yesterday.
Yeah.
Annihilated Friday night. They're playing them again today. The Mets are just as bad as the Phillies, is all that means.
I know. Well, the Mets are always just as bad as any other bad team, unfortunately.
They play down to their opponents. But, the Phillies are they're not even 500%. They're still fighting to come up to 500%, I believe. And they looked good though this weekend. I'll tell you that they actually looked like they could play. So the Phillies are beginning to come around, and we'll see what happens with them. Some legal news, David. We got some legal news right now that we need to talk about. Apple is in the news today. They just paid about some X millions of dollars to folks who got screwed on their iPhones. You know how you go into the store with your iPhone and it's not working. You go to the Apple salesperson and you say, my phone's not working. And usually within the first year, it's under warranty for just about anything. They'll take your phone and they'll pull it apart. And if they can't fix it, they'll give you a new one or a refurbished one. And I've had that experience. They're very, they've been very good, actually.
But
there's one exception to that rule. If they open the back of your phone and they see the little piece of tape near the battery or near the antenna, and that little piece of tape is any color other than white, if it's pink, if it's red, if it's any shade of pinkishness, they close the phone, hand it back, and tell you they can't do anything for you, because they assume that if it's pink or red, your phone has been dunked in the toilet or in
some
water body.
Well, I think that's why the tape is there, right? I mean, to show water damage, that water was in there.
Exactly.
But I think it's only for the older phones, because I have the 4S.
Yes.
I think, and the article said that it was the 3G and, you know, the 3 and the maybe the first 4, but It was the older phones. Let's put it that way. Like my phone, I just, I have to say, I went to the store and they put a new battery in it. My phone's pretty old.
Yeah.
I didn't even think it was under warranty anymore. Boom, new battery.
Yeah, they've been very good about that. But apparently, if you had red tape or pink tape, you were done.
Yeah.
You were verboten. They kicked you out of the store, gave you nothing, and told you to hit the high road or pay them for a new phone. And somebody sued. And, you know, the tape was manufactured by 3M,
right.
Those folks down in Delaware.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Class action.
There was a class action suit, and 3M had to admit that the tape could go pink even if it's only exposed to high humidity. You know, and God knows we have humidity in Philly in the summer. So you get a little humidity, the tape goes pink, you go into the store, the phone isn't broke because you dumped it into water, but those people at Apple, they don't give you a new phone. Folks, yeah. So if you got a phone and you had problems with Apple and they didn't take care of you, you could be a member of the class action and eligible for up to $200 or maybe even $400. Get in touch.
That's a lot.
Get in touch with the folks handling the class action on that one.
That's a lot for class action. Usually it's like a coupon for $5 or something.
Yeah, no, this is real money. Folks, if you're listening to David now, you can reach us at 215-263-1003. That's where we are in the studio. We'll answer your legal questions, whatever they are, however crazy they are. We'll give it our best shot. 215-263-1003. What else is going on in the news?
Nothing, actually. No. It's beautiful outside today. We didn't talk about the weather. We usually do.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little colder tomorrow, but I think the next 2 days, today and Monday, are going to be good. But then it's going to rain a little bit. But we're starting to get into those nice, you know, the precursor to summer, and I'm suffering for it. I have my car has 4 inches of pollen on it.
Really?
And I'm all stuffed up and allergied out. I don't know if you can tell in my voice, but.
Yeah, I can, yeah. Actually.
Yeah, I suffer from that, so, you know. So either that or you take Benadryl and you're in that haze.
Yeah. The Benadryl haze. I don't have that. I don't take that. I do take Allegra regularly, but it's non-drowsy, and it has no effect in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm good to go with an Allegra, half an Allegra a day, and I'm good to go. Folks, if you're listening to David and I, this is Court Radio, where we attack your legal questions one at a time. You get to ask one question, and then we'll answer it. 215-263-1003. If you have questions and we're done for the day, you can always get us at the office during the week. 215-227-2727, or always online 24/7 at www.myphillylawyer.com. You know, I don't have to say .com any longer.
No, everyone knows.
Everybody knows. So just get over to My Philly Lawyer's website, and it's full of good information. You know, and we are now going to move on to our hot button topic. We're joined in the studio by Mr. Wolf. Good morning, and welcome to Court Radio. Yeah, just
good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. You know, I want to give you my condolences, Greg. You lost your son in December to a drug overdose.
Yes, I did. Heroin overdose.
And your son was 21 years old. What was his name?
Justin Wolf.
Justin. And Justin had an ongoing problem with drugs, yes?
Yes, he did, unfortunately.
It's not uncommon, unfortunately. A lot of folks have battled that battle. And unfortunately, a lot lose that battle, and Justin was one of those. So my condolences. But you're here for a more not a, you're here to try to prevent the next Justin
exactly.
from happening.
Right.
What got you behind this? Let's first lay it out for folks. Your main purpose right now is to try and make an exception to the HIPAA laws. HIPAA laws are the laws that guarantee our privacy in our medical records. It prevents doctors and hospitals and therapists from releasing our records unless we specifically give them the authority to release them. And they get into a whole lot of trouble if they release them and we haven't given them authority. So you, why don't you set the ground? What did you know about Justin's drug problem before his death in December?
Well, Justin had gone to his mother back in April of last year and confronted her that he had a Percocet and Oxycontin addiction. And so without him wanting to let me know, nor she took him over to our family physician. He checked her out, and he checked him out, and advised his mother that she should take him to a crisis center, treatment center. When she got out to the parking lot, Justin said that he was did not want to go to a crisis center, that he wanted to be taken to a Suboxone doctor of his own choosing, which he chose. And with that, she took him. He was then placed on Suboxone, which is a lighter form of methadone, okay, for opiate addiction, and started taking them once a month. A couple of months later, I found out the situation, and I tried to get him into an inpatient rehab. First outpatient, because he didn't want to go to inpatient, and he was working two jobs at the time. And I told him that it's a necessity to get into the treatment program. By the time we tried to find a good outpatient program, he kept putting it off because of his age, 21. And he finally hit rock bottom, and I told him he has to go into an inpatient. At that time, he said to me that, Dad, he said, I don't want to go into inpatient. I can't go into inpatient because if I do, I don't want to start using heroin or crack cocaine or methamphetamine, some of the harder drugs. I was honest. I went to my mom, and I told her, and I'll go to an outpatient program. So as a father, I had to make a decision. All right, do I send him to inpatient, take that choice of him meeting other people that are on worse drugs or not? So I took him to an intensive outpatient program over in New Jersey. He went there for 5 weeks. He wanted to start at Temple, which he did. He was doing very, very well. He joined AEPI, which is a wonderful frat. They took him under his wing, not knowing about his addiction. And again, we thought his addiction was complete because of everything that I had seen, and he seemed very, very good. Living at school, though, all right, there were a lot of webs in the closet that we didn't realize. And when he came home on the holiday, he passed away on December 19th from a heroin overdose, not ever knowing that he had ever touched heroin. When I did my investigation, however, I found out that he had apprised our family physician last April, outside the hearing of his mother, that he was doing heroin for a few months prior to that. When she took him to the Suboxone doctor, he told the Suboxone doctor he was doing it for 11 months prior to last April, which would have put us at around May of 2011.
And so without this information, well, let me ask you this. What would you have done had you known this? The doctors knew it. I have no doubt, okay, that the Suboxone doctor probably told your son, get yourself to a meeting. Get yourself to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Get yourself to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. Get yourself to one of these 12-step meetings where you'll find other people who have battled this battle and succeeded in getting to the other side. It is standard protocol. And yet, my experience is that when people aren't ready to hear that message, whether it's a message they're hearing from their father or a message they're hearing from their doctor, if they're not ready, they're not ready, they don't go. And unfortunately, a lot of these folks ultimately lose that battle. You're asking the legal system to change the privacy laws. And the question is, do you really think something would have changed, would have been different had you known?
Nothing is 100%. Okay. However, I would have had a running start, and I can't deal with hypotheticals. I can only deal with the facts. And the fact is, had I known Justin was doing heroin, which is an insidious, terrible drug, which rewires the synapses of your brain. All right. And the only pleasure center that you have is for that drug. Had I known that, he would have not had, obviously, his phone. He would have not had his school, which I was paying for, and he would have had to go into an inpatient treatment. There would have been no ifs, ands, or buts, all right? Or he would have been out on the street.
See, here's my take on this, and you brought something up about paying for. See, I would suspect your biggest obstacle is, where do you draw the line here? Because if we, obviously the HIPAA laws are related to someone being an adult, and an adult, whatever their condition is, has the right to say, I don't want you to disseminate any of my information. However, there was a nexus that you had that was a little bit different, not only as a parent, and I'm not so sure being a parent changes it, because once you're an adult anyway, but you were paying for school. Right. I'm thinking one of the arguments could be that the school has a, might, the laws could be changed, that the school has a duty, if the doctor's related to the school or something like that, to inform you. I'm just a little concerned, or I'm sure you're going to be met with a lot of opposition about, you know, where do we draw the line on what we allow doctors to reveal and not reveal to adult about adults.
Right. You're absolutely correct. However, I testified before Congress, the House of Representatives, a subcommittee on oversight and investigations this past Friday down in Washington. And it was very, very receptive.
Was it?
Yes.
We wanted to ask you, how did you get so quickly to a subcommittee?
Because I wrote a letter to President Obama.
Okay.
And
wow.
I've had a lot of media and press coverage, articles and newspapers, as well as TV shows.
Because you would agree with that. That's like the quick, I mean, right. Government doesn't work this way usually. That's kind of enlightening that it happened so quickly.
It did, and it surprised me, but I think it's a major, major issue, because my fight is for people with a mental disorder or drug or alcohol addiction. I'm not talking about other
instances,
because when somebody has a mental disorder, now Justin had OCD and ADHD.
Okay.
He had some anxiety and some depression. He was seeing a therapist, different therapist, since he was 15 and a half. Perfectly normal, loving, compassionate, very intelligent.
So your argument's somewhat of like a competency argument.
It's a competency argument. And I will say that I have something from a doctor, and I won't state the doctor's name. However, he had researched this, and he said the law itself may not be unnecessary restrictive in that there is an entire section dealing with disclosure of protected health information, which does not require consent under 45 CFR 164.512. Under Title J, a physician is empowered to disclose protected health information if it is in the best interest of the patient and in good faith. I believe that many medical professionals who didn't train in the post-HIPAA era simply don't understand that they have a lot of leeway to decide what to disclose based on the best interest of the patient.
So, in essence, that kind of defeats your argument that it needs to change, because what you're saying is that right now, built into the HIPAA laws, there is a safety valve. The safety valve permits a doctor or healthcare professional to release information about a patient when they think that it's in the patient's best interest to release that information.
Well, Dean, you'll agree with me. As lawyers, I mean, we know the HIPAA laws are always misinterpreted. Nobody can know what everyone says. I don't know what it means.
And that is what they stated down in Congress with some of your expert testimony.
So tell us something. You went down to Congress on Friday and you gave a presentation. How many people were there? Where were you? What was the room like? Give us a lay of the land. Was there just like one person in the corner of this big room?
No, there were several representatives from around the country who were present. And like I said, there's 28 on the Committee of the Oversight and Investigations. There might have been 10 to 12 in and out at different times. And basically what I requested of them was that for parents or legal caretakers of a minor or emancipated adult with documented drug abuse and or mental histories who continue to cover the minor and or emancipated adult with health coverage and or continue to support the individual financially will have access to that individual's health care until the age of 26 to prevent him or her from society or from her, him or her
danger,
or society
right.
from harm.
Right.
Because the reality is that, just to give you a few examples, all right, my son, I found certain things out from my younger son that Justin had been doing just a couple of weeks before his passing, and that was driving erratically on the road, okay, where my son asked him to pull over and take the car.
Okay.
Thank God my son didn't hit anyone.
Right.
Didn't kill anybody.
Sure.
We found in his apartment his mattress, burn holes in his mattress from nodding out, obviously, which I learned from heroin. So therefore, he could have set the apartment complex ablaze. Many, many people would have been destroyed and killed.
Here's my concern, and I want because we have thousands of listeners, and I have to make sure that people understand. that, you know, number one, I've been down this road, okay, personally. I lost my brother when I was 19 years old. My brother was 27 and was a heroin addict and died from a heroin overdose. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And I know a whole lot about recovery and the recovering community. And I would say that there's a lot of people out there in recovery who would say, there is not a damn thing different about Percocets and Oxycontins than there is from heroin. Those are serious narcotic pain-relieving medications. When you have end-stage cancer and there's no hope and they give you Oxycontins, they know you're going to become addicted to it very quickly, and it's going to affect your life horribly. But what choice do you have? So I don't want to leave people with the impression that these are safe drugs, that these are good drugs, that you can live with these drugs. If you're taking Oxys or you're taking Percs and you've been taking them for more than a couple of days, you got a problem. And those drugs, you can nod on those drugs, you can be burning your house down on those drugs, you can be crashing cars on those drugs. All the things that are bad about heroin are bad about those drugs as well. And folks think that because a doctor hands them a prescription, that they have free license to use those drugs as they damn well please, and they don't. And they're dangerous. And you got to be careful when you're taking those drugs. I don't know, folks. What do you think? Let's bring our listeners into this discussion. Do you think it's a good idea to water down somewhat the HIPAA laws to protect your children, your adult children, from the effects of drug addiction? Would you like to know what they're telling their doctor in an attempt to bring them into a state of better health? 215-263-1003. 215-263-1003. We're going to go to break, and we're going to come right back with our guest in 2 minutes.
If your child was injured at birth, if you were the victim of a medical mistake, or if you were hurt in a workplace or automobile accident, choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting the compensation you deserve. I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. We've collected over $100 million for our clients, and we won't stop until your future is secure. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman, on Old School 100.3.
Hey, 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 welcome back. This is Dean Weitzman, your host of Court Radio, 1 hour, 7 to 8 a.m. every Sunday morning, where we discuss the hot legal issues of the day and answer your questions. You can find us every Sunday at 215-263-1003. And let's talk to Tracy from Lansdowne, who's got a comment for our guest. Go ahead, Tracy. How are you, dear? And welcome to Court Radio.
Good. How are you?
We're doing fine, thanks. What's your comment?
I'm up early, and I'm listening to this, the gentleman on about his son, and I really do send my condolences out. However, I believe in the HIPAA laws. I worked in research and development. I look at it not to downplay the HIPAA laws, but maybe sometimes we need to upplay those parental laws and have these people be accountable, have parents to be more accountable. If my child is on drugs, you can't convince me that one is worse than the other. You are out. I mean, you just making excuses. So therefore, we can kind of dig deeper into what we need to do about, you know, our children who get out there and they get messed up on these prescription drugs, which now I would probably say are some of the highest top drugs out there now that people are using and they're concealing because they're very easy to get and you can conceal. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know to battle with the federal government and their HIPAA laws to protect people who really need their privacies protected as opposed to a parent who was blaring right in your face that your kid had a problem. You are responsible for that, and you let him convince you, got two jobs, and, you know, should he go into rehab? He should have been in rehab. Your ultimatum to go in rehab or I'm done. So I don't know. That's just my opinion on it. And I've had and family members in addictions and have walked a life of many people. And so I know that sometimes you just have to just step up and be that parent and not hold anybody else accountable. That's your kid, your child. They people don't know. They would have had some way of preventing it. They probably would have intervened a long time ago. But I know those doctors probably told them to go to a meeting, go to a rehab, go to a meeting, get some help.
Yep. All right, Tracy, thanks for giving us a call. Thanks for your opinion. We appreciate it.
All righty, take care.
All right, let's talk to Mr. Dorsey from Wilmington, Delaware on the HIPAA laws. Good morning and welcome to Court Radio, sir.
Hello?
Hey, turn down your radio, first of all.
I feel that, you know, he's beating the right drum. I'm a recovering addict. You know, I used for 25 years. I'm coming up on 21 years clean. And, you know, the person that's using is not in his right state of mind. He's going to maneuver to try to do or get what he's trying to get, you know. And, you know, a doctor should be able to release to his parents or his spouse, you know, information concerning his, you know, addiction or drug use, you know, because, like I said, when you're using, you're in one mode, and that's to use.
There you go.
And I think that's a good process, and good luck to him.
All right. Congratulations on your recovery, and thanks for listening to Court Radio. All right. Let's talk to Lisa from Philly. Yo, Lisa, welcome to Court Radio.
Yes, about the oxycodone and Percocet. My grown son had a very bad toothache, and then he went to the ER because it felt like a hammer. He's being hammered in the head, and the ER doctor gave him a prescription for Percocet and told him that he needed to go to the clinic because he didn't have any health coverage. He then went to the clinic, they examined him, and gave a prescription for oxycodone for a toothache.
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's happening. You know, these healthcare professionals are plying us with heavy duty narcotics and medications. But, you know, if you got an addictive tendency, it's only going to be a matter of time before that addiction finds an opportunity. And that's our concern. Our concern is.
I thank God that he didn't because his father had problems with drugs, and when he got the prescription filled, he asked me what they were, and I told him, I said, you can't take these, you know, these are hardcore drugs.
Yeah.
And he seen what his father went through, and I thank God he didn't take them, but I was just amazed that somebody gave me oxycodone and Percocet for a toothache.
Yep.
That just took me out.
Yeah, it's unfortunately happens too often. All right, Lisa, thanks for calling Court Radio. Have a great Sunday, dear. All right. One more. Let's talk to Anonymous from New Jersey. Yo, Anonymous, welcome to Court Radio.
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to say I commend the gentleman for bringing this to the attention of Congress. I think it's much larger than any of us really think it is. As many of the callers have said, it is an epidemic that is taking over our young people. And has anyone ever thought about that it's bigger than anything other than money? There is money being made out there. These pharmacy programs are dispensing these drugs, and they are destroying our young people.
Yeah,
the doctors are the drug dealers, not the people on the street. It's the doctors. And it's because it's money. They are making billions of dollars on these drugs, knowing what they do to these people.
I'm not going to disagree with you. You know, this kind of dovetails into some of our prior shows in the last few weeks. Prison in the United States are in prison because they have some connection to drug abuse in that process. And so whether it's committing crimes to get drugs, committing crimes to sell drugs, committing crimes, I don't know what happened, but we just lost. In any event, maybe we lost the caller. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for calling us. And you're right on target where this is a big problem. And we really need to get on top of it. Greg, let's circle back and talk a little bit about. Wow, you almost killed me there, Greg. We're going to talk about why is it important in your mind? Where did the age of 26 come from? Like, what? Right. I mean, why not make it 30? And I have questions, but go ahead, tell me.
26 was because under the Obamacare, all right, he now allows parents and is requiring parents to take care of their children until the age of 26 under our health care. As long as they're adults, legal, either minor or legally emancipated, okay, living under our roof, where we're paying for them till their age of 26, whether it's for their college, their food, their clothing, shelter, as well as their health care. More importantly, we have a right to know as parents on what is happening. Now, I will say that addiction, what I did find out, and there's plenty to learn, and that's why I'm here, to spread the word and to make parents aware that addiction is very, very manipulative, and the addict is a constant binge of lying as well as abusing. So therefore, there are a lot of things that Justin had apprised me of, okay, which I believed him. You have trust in your child, but knowing now that the addiction makes you be very manipulative, and it's life-threatening. It's life-threatening to these
people. How do you know an addict's lying?
Well,
his lips are moving.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Let me tell you something, and it also runs in the family. You're now on notice. You have to be really leery of your other child. You know, I used to be locked in the back of my dad's Mercury Marquis. The car was as big as a zip code, you know, but nonetheless, all the windows up, he's smoking his Salems. And it's like a big cloud of smoke in the car, right? And my eyes are burning, my nose, and I hated it. I hated it. I said, I will never smoke. I will never. Oh, my God, how can you do that? You're a loser. And sure enough, at the ripe old age of 15 or 16, I took my first cigarette. And for the next 25 years, I was a smoker. Knowing that something bad happened to somebody or it's bad for you isn't necessarily going to prevent you from engaging in that same crazy bad behavior.
Well, that's the whole point. I think one of the major points of this is it's something with the brain. It's a mental, I wouldn't call it a mental illness, but it could be a mental illness.
No, addiction is it is classified as a disease.
Well, so if we classify it as that, then obviously the people who suffer from it are not in their right mind to make their own decisions. And don't we, those people have assistance for them from family?
How is this, Greg, David, how is this different when, let's say, your 21-year-old has a form of cancer and they refuse treatment? Because they don't want to go through the treatment. They don't think it's going to work out for them, and they don't want to do it. They're going to die from their disease. Do you deserve to know about that and force them into a forced treatment?
That's not a mental disease, though. That's a physical disease. They're aware and they're informed of the liability, whether a 16-year-old girl is pregnant or somebody has cancer at 22 years old. They're aware of the physical condition. Mental disease.
But their brain hasn't, they still have that small frontal cortex. They're still under 26.
That is true. That is true.
And so they do suffer from a mental disease. It's called the mental disease of youth. Well, all right. So now if some of our listeners are, Dean, what are you talking about? 215-263-1003 gets you into the studio. If you got an opinion on whether the HIPAA laws should be watered down a little bit to prevent what happened to Greg, and that is he didn't have all the information about Justin, his son. And the information was that Justin was hooked on heroin.
See, I think the question is not what you just said. I think the real question is, should they be enforced more effectively and perhaps tweaked to cover these? Because it already, as you read that passage, it already addresses this issue somewhat in that if people are a danger to themselves or society, then doctors can't circumvent the privacy and, you know, alert somebody.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe what we need is a couple of cases that come down the pike.
Well, we have. We've had Newtown massacres, Columbine, the Aurora shootings.
No, I'm not talking those cases, Greg. What I'm talking about is doctors who disseminate this information, who are then sued, and then we have some court decisions on that where the court says, no, the doctor didn't do anything wrong. He's within, so that doctors have some more guidance from the court systems on this law.
Yeah, that's a good point because the healthcare industry is petrified about the HIPAA laws.
They are.
They're petrified. I mean, what we do as lawyers, we can't get our own clients. We can't get information from them. You got to sign 15 forms.
And it's even worse when it's a mental illness.
Yes, yeah, because they don't want to release that information.
Therapists and psychologists and psychiatrists mm-hmm. have even more stringent standards yep. than medical doctors.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy. In that regard, it's crazy. I mean, if there's an exception in the law, you know, I mean, we need our doctors to step up and be adults about this and to reveal the information that needs to be revealed so that we can give our children the best shot they have of trying to get on top of this. Although I still believe that if you're not ready, you're not ready. And I don't think, and I don't know how you feel about this, Greg, but I honestly, I know that you're doing this for the right reason. You've got your heart in this and you're trying to help other parents so that they don't have to live through the horror that you had to live through.
Well, just let me make a few statements. Number one, okay, heroin in this community over in Camden is the strongest, most potent in the country. It's a known fact. It's been on the internet for whatever reason of where it comes from. That's the reason why they can snort it, hide it, and not shoot it, okay? According to the Center for Disease Control in 2010, we aren't even up to the present, drug overdoses killed over 38,000 people, making drugs a more common cause of death in car accidents, guns, or alcohol. By comparison, approximately 8,500 homicides were the result of firearms. So drugs are definitely killing a lot more people. Why? Because of mental disease, and mental disease is in turn resulting in such things as the Newtown Massacre. Okay. In Psychology Today, in 2011, accidental drug overdose was the second most cause of death of young people in the U.S., exceeding those attributable to firearms, homicides, and HIV/AIDS. So that's the reason why I'm trying to help and bring this to the forefront and to have an exception, a small exception to the HIPAA rule, so therefore parents can help our young adults because we're losing a tremendous amount of talent and a great deal of wealth in our society.
Let's talk to Christine from Alleny, who wants to comment on the topic. Christine, welcome to Court Radio.
Thank you. I I came in late, so I wasn't sure. But I just wanted to ask Greg, where can you reach out to him about supporting him in this endeavor?
So how do people get in touch with you, Greg, who want to help you pass the word and help to get this law changed?
Well, I can give you my email.
Go ahead.
It's G, as in Greg, Wolf, W-O-L-F-E, at klwreporters.com.
Thank you very much. I wish you much luck.
Thank you very much.
All right. We have a caller who's got a question off topic, but let's take Helen from Chester, PA. Good morning, Helen, and welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, good morning.
What's your question, dear?
My question is, my father-in-law was injured at work.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to know what steps we take at this point. It was started by a coworker. So
it was whatted by a coworker?
It was caused by.
It was his coworker pushed him.
Ah.
And, he ended up, I guess, like tearing some ligaments in his knee.
Okay. Well, you got to be careful with the that scenario because if it's determined to be an intentional act, you know, there was some animosity between the coworker and your father-in-law that could prevent your father-in-law from successfully making a claim. However, if it was an accident, if it was an accidental event, then and your dad's or your father-in-law's unable to engage in his normal working duties because of that injury, then he clearly can get paid for his lost wages for his inability to work. And he should contact us immediately tomorrow morning at 215-227-2727. We have a whole team of attorneys that work for injured employees and get them their benefits and make sure that they're protected in their efforts.
Okay.
215-227-2727 during the week, and we'll get you in touch with an attorney, and there won't be any charge or cost for the consultation, and unless we're able to get him on benefits, there's no charge at all.
Okay, great.
All right, take care. Thanks for calling Court Radio.
All right, Greg, here's my we take the final progression of this, at least I'm thinking. So let's say the law's changed. You're a parent in your situation would be apprised of what was going on. What then, what's the next step? Is the law allowing you to intervene and put him somewhere? Are you allowed to make those decisions? Is that what you're looking for as well? I mean, in other words, I'm saying, how much control do you then have over, quote unquote, the adult?
Well, like I said, to deal with hypotheticals are very
difficult. I know, it's hard. I understand.
It's very difficult. But and there's no 100% answer
sure.
in regard to this. But the problem that I have is the fact that when Justin passed,
mm-hmm.
okay, and I looked in his phone, in his text messages, what he was doing was he was taking the Suboxone that he was getting, and he was taking it, I'm sure, from time to time to help his or quell his thirst for the drug. But he was also selling the Suboxone, and he had a few contacts where he was selling his Suboxone to obtain money because we weren't giving him money, okay, to go and get the heroin. He was also selling his Adderall, all right, which we found out, which he did need to stay focused. So there's a lot that is encompassed, that wraps around almost like a cancer, okay, where it's a cancer of the brain, okay, but it can't help you to function normally and properly in society.
Well, clearly addicts don't function normally,
right.
And that's the problem with getting them treatment. Because in my experience, unless they're really willing participants in that process, the process does not have a chance of success. Which brings me back to my original theory, which is while I definitely feel your pain, and I don't know if this helps or not, but I really don't think there's anything you could have done to have stopped this. And clearly you're a loving father. You want to help your kids. You're participating in this process. Look, you traveled down to Washington. Nobody's doubting that. I just think that unless the addict is ready, willing, and able to accept that help, it's not a process that often ends well. Go ahead, Greg.
No, I understand that. But having the ability to acknowledge, to know ahead of time, I think is extremely important because it gives you a running start right at the starting point.
Well,
okay, to get them the
gives
help
you the ability to address it. Maybe if they are receptive, you can get them the help.
And a lot of times they're receptive. Sometimes they're not receptive.
Right.
Okay.
Like you said, hypotheticals.
Right. And that's the key for them.
Well, clearly, if you gave the tough love and you closed them down for money, school, living, all of that, maybe you could have forced him into his bottom sooner. And maybe he would have gotten help. And that is a hypothetical, but, I'll give you that much. 215-263-1003. We're talking to Greg Wolf about his son, Justin, and whether the HIPAA laws should be watered down to prevent or to enable parents to help their kids when their kids really need the help the most. We're going to be right back after these announcements.
I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. If you've been the victim of a medical mistake, getting proper care matters. Understanding your rights matters. And getting just compensation that provides for your future matters. That's why your attorney matters. If you're suffering because of a serious medical mistake, call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. Choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting the compensation you deserve. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman, on Old School 100.3.
Okay, welcome back. This is Court Radio, and I'm Dean Weitzman. We're joined in studio with Greg Wolf. Greg's from Philadelphia, and his son Justin lost his battle this past December with a heroin addiction, that Greg knew nothing about, and but Justin's doctors did. And Greg says that if the doctors had only told him about Justin's heroin addiction, he would have taken steps, tough love steps, to help Justin get some help. So Greg has been negotiating for the changes in the HIPAA laws, which are the laws which provide privacy to all of us from our doctors. And he wants the doctors to specifically be able to release information about our children's drug addictions when our children are under the age of 26. 26, Greg says, is a special age because of the development of the brain, but also because in the new Obamacare laws, we're, as parents, responsible to insure our children until they're 26. So if we have to insure them, we should know what's going on with them, so says Greg. Did I fairly and accurately sum up your position?
Yes, you did. Absolutely.
Thank okay.
You.
Mm-hmm.
So what you had these hearings.
Yes.
You said they were receptive.
Right.
What's the timetable now?
They did not. With the government, you never know.
Well, it's encouraging that they did it so quickly to have the hearings, but
well, they're doing the hearings. They did the HIPAA hearings in March as well as on Friday, and due to the Newtown massacres because of psychological
mental illness, sure,
disorders, et cetera. I just wanted to also state that I know that Percocet and OxyContin, from what I've learned, is $25 to $30 a pill. Little did I know as a parent that people can get heroin, small bags of heroin in Camden, for $5 to $10 a bag.
Wow.
So even though you're not giving your child money, okay, Justin had pawned his computer a few times. I researched and learned until he was able to get money back from selling a Suboxone and Adderall to go back and get his computer for school. He was carrying a 3.0 grade point average in college. So it's not like he was not doing.
Well, yeah,
he was able to function.
Unfortunately, many addicts can function and appear to be normal to society, and that unfortunately. For the those who aren't really savvy to drug addiction, that means that you're not on the highest alert that you might be on. And so, you know, what it says is not every person needs to be to the point where they're on the street begging for change so that they can get high that day. Some people get up every morning, put a suit on and go to their job as a lawyer or as a doctor or as a baker. And they get up every morning and they do their thing and they look like they're normal. But they're not. They're really addicts, and they're really destroying their lives, and the destruction doesn't become evident until it's too late. Let's talk to, let's see, we got so many people here. Let's talk to Stacy real quick from South Philly, who's got a comment on the topic. Stacy, welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well, thanks. Thanks for listening.
Good. I had a question, a separate question from the topic, but I did have a comment, too.
Go ahead.
The comment was, I totally agree with Greg. If we have to insure our children till 26, we definitely should have all the information from the doctor so that we can do all that we can to help them. But my question was, I'm helping out my brother with a custody case.
Uh-huh.
And the mother has taken the child to New Jersey without his permission. And we believe she did give the information to the courts about her address. And I just wanted to know, is there anything that we can do to try to get the mother to come back to New Jersey? To come back to Philadelphia, because the reason is that the child has developmental disabilities. And she's missing his doctor's appointments that he has here in Philadelphia.
Well, you could file a petition. Mm-hmm. You could file a petition with the courts in Philadelphia, who still have jurisdiction over the custody matter if that's where the custody order is. And you're not allowed to leave the jurisdiction if there's a custody order without permission of the court. And so she probably is in violation if there's a court order giving your brother visitation and or custody rights. Then the Philadelphia courts are definitely involved. Now, if there is no custody order and she has not left for more than 6 months, then Philadelphia still has jurisdiction over the matter. If there's no custody order and it's been more than 6 months since she left the jurisdiction, then it's possible that venue would reside in New Jersey at this point. You need to speak to a lawyer who specializes in domestic relations. And to get that happening, you need to give my office a call tomorrow, and we'll certainly be happy to make that referral for you. Give us a call at 215-227-2727.
Thank you so much.
Let's take care, Stacey.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk to No Name from King of Prussia. Good morning, No Name.
Good morning. I have a comment about the HIPAA law.
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay. This should be revisited because there are cases where we have minor children and kids still under their parents' care who are not getting the information. I personally experienced that case with my 14-year-old who was pregnant. I took her to a doctor to confirm that she was pregnant. They would not give me the information, even though they found out she was pregnant. And it's something that I had to deal with without being fully aware.
Wow. How did that end up? What was the resolution to that?
Well, I eventually had to do a home pregnancy test to get the information, although I took her to a doctor.
I see.
And still something I ultimately had to be responsible for.
And did she ultimately have the baby?
No.
Okay. Well, you really stayed on top of that, and I applaud you for that. I think Greg would agree with you that these laws need to be looked at. Thanks for giving us a call, and have a great Sunday.
Thank you.
All right. Let's talk to Amin in North Philly. Good morning, Amin, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning. Thank you. I know you're running short, so I'm going to make this real quick.
Go ahead.
I am an employee of the federal government, and when we attempt to get medical records to determine whether veterans are entitled to compensation benefits or pension benefits, we too have a very, very difficult time. And my comment is just this. Often we see these type of laws that has the intent is very good, but we're fixated on this one-size-fit-all situations, and we've seen far too many times where too many people have fell victim when we try to do something like that. So what my suggestion or comment is that whenever we try to institute these laws, we should always have something called a common sense clause. And I know it'll be time and years before they work out everything that fits under the common sense part of it. But there should be a common sense clause so that we don't try to make one size fit all, such in your guest's case, a horrible thing. Here he has a son that, had he had those records, he could have been able to help his son. And there's literally thousands of other situations that's similar, whereas if we just had a common sense law in a clause in these laws, perhaps it could help us with situations like this. And thank you for taking my call, and I appreciate it.
All right, Amin, thanks for calling us, and have a great Sunday. Thanks for being a listener to Court Radio. All right, well, Greg, I really appreciate your coming in, sharing your own private family matters in a way that you're doing to try to help others not have to go through what you went through. And, there's a YouTube tribute for Correct. Justin. How Yes. do people find that?
Well, they go onto YouTube and they type in Justin's name and AEPI. There's a tribute video.
All right. So if you go to YouTube, folks, there's a search box there. If you put Justin Wolf in, that's Justin Wolf with an E, W-O-L-F-E, and I-E...
A-E-P-I.
A-E-P-I. A-E-P-I. A-E-P-I and Justin Wolf in the YouTube search box, and you'll get to see the tribute to Justin Wolf, who really lost his battle to a disease, unfortunately, way, way too soon.
Now my mic's on. I think the shootings that have been around the country recently and this issue put together are going to really make our country in the next few years look at mental illness in a different way.
That's
something needs to be addressed because we're kind of ignoring it.
Yeah, there's the important things in life like mental illness and helping folks deal with that. Have taken a backseat to the punitive
right.
Kind of America that we're currently in that is the largest imprisoner of our own population in the world. Time to end that. Time to start investing properly into our citizens. Folks, unfortunately, we're out of time. We're going to have to give up the microphones to my good friend E. Stephen Collins and Philly Speaks coming up right after this announcement.